the Cessna Skycatcher, some industry impressions. I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. On January 17th, Cessna announced that the company is nearing the first flight of its new light sport aircraft, the 162 Skycatcher. The proof of concept continues putting hours on its Continental 0200D engine, and sales of the plane are reportedly nearing 1,000. At the 2007 U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida, a few weeks ago, the plane continued to attract attention. It is clearly validating the light sport segment for many prospective owners who might not otherwise have considered buying an LSA, and it restores the entry level to Cessna's product line. Aero TV this week wrapped up a four-part series pulling together our coverage of the 162 story, including Jim Campbell's interview with Cessna Skycatcher project engineer Neil Wilford. That interview was conducted inside a 162. We'll hear that in a few moments. But first, impressions of the Skycatcher and its significance from Cessna CEO Jack Pelton, EAA President Tom Poberesny, and Martha King of the King Schools.
Jack, obviously everybody was coming to Oshkosh with a couple of questions on their mind, but the biggest one was obviously Cessna, LSA, what's going on? You're here. It's here. It's gorgeous. What really is going to happen now as far as Cessna's entry into LSA?
Well, Jim, last year I think you saw the proof of concept and you said, Jack, are you really going to do this? And when are you going to do this? And today is the day that we are doing it. We're taking orders today. We're excited about going into production on what is our Cessna entry into the light sport market. It's the Cessna Model 162 Skycatcher.
The kids today with Microsoft Flight Sim and others, they're getting virtual time that is as real as what you and I got when we were learning how to fly. And so they're coming to an expectation. This is what they expect to see in terms of the cockpit and style and flight capability for a light airplane. And what I'm confident is that once they learn how to fly an airplane like this, they'll continue to work their way up to other airplanes, whether it's the Cessna family or others that come along.
They're going to be using this airplane for the private pilot course as well as sport pilot, and we provide the training programs for the Cessna pilot centers. And we've already started working on the syllabus, and we're very eager to get our hands on an actual airplane so that we can start doing the in-flight segments with it.
We really didn't see the real vision until the regulatory process was done. We started the infrastructure building and realized that it was important that companies who could give credibility and validation such as Cessna get engaged. And we were very fortunate that Jack Pelton was at the head of Cessna because he was willing to share the vision, saw what was needed, and was able to put in infrastructure in terms of a business case that made this a reality.
I'm a strong general aviation advocate, and when I look at the trends, that's concerning. When I look at the kids that live in my neighborhood, that they aren't flying model airplanes and they're not looking to the sky dreaming of flying. And a lot of it, I think, is due to affordability, and there's nothing fun and exciting out there to grab them.
They're coming up from having flown flight simulators, whether it's Microsoft Flight Simulator or some other, and they've got experience with glass cockpits. They've got expectations of a technologically exciting airplane to learn to fly in, and boy, oh boy, this is really going to make them happy.
You know, while we're attracting a lot of young people, they do need to have a flight instructor in the right-hand seat. And I think one of the concerns of some of the older airplane is it's just too uncomfortable. There's not enough elbow room to go out and do effective training and to have it be a comfortable environment. So that was one of the criteria we looked real hard at.
The tendency is to not think about the inside of the airplane, and that's where you spend most of your time. So the cockpit design, the ergonomic comforts are going to go a long way in selling the new pilot start in terms of being part of the aviation community.
I look at the 140 I learned to fly in, and I ask myself, how did I ever get in there with a flight instructor? It's so small. We've solved that, and we've also put, I think, an ergonomically well-designed panel layout that will really grab people's attention when they come out to the airport to see it for the first time.
It's an exciting airplane, and I think it's going to bring a lot of enthusiastic new people into aviation.
We're sampling this week's four-part Aero TV series on the Cessna Skycatcher, and we'll have more in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Aero TV released a four-part video feature on the Cessna Skycatcher this week. We hope today's audio highlights will encourage you to check out the video, and if you haven't tried it yet, Aero TV itself. To more fully appreciate the improvement in cabin roominess the 162 offers compared to earlier entry-level Cessna Piston singles, Jim Campbell actually went inside the cabin to talk with Neil Wilford, Cessna Skycatcher project engineer.
At the 2008 U.S. Sport Aviation Expo, obviously one of the main stars here has to be Cessna. Cessna has revitalized a lot of interest in LSA with the announcement of the 162 Skycatcher. At the same time, a little controversy arose when they made a decision to build the airplane in part in China. While a lot of the components, Teledyne's engine, Garmin's panel, and a lot of equipment is going to come from the United States and produce a lot of jobs here in the States, there will be some assembly in China and final assembly back in three locations in the U.S. The question of whether or not the market will bear it is being answered here, because while there are some folks who really like to see it built elsewhere, the main response to anybody who comes up, tries it out, gets inside, finds out they've got headroom and legroom and a beautiful little panel and a neat stick and everything else is three words: I want one. Neil, first of all, welcome to Aero TV, and thanks for spending a little bit of time here in a surprisingly spacious cabin for what is a basic aircraft. I'm kind of surprised. We're shoulder to shoulder. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to have to announce their engagement afterwards. I've got plenty of headroom and plenty of legroom. Mm-hmm. Nice job.
Well, great. Thanks.
Well, Neil, let's broach on a subject that's gotten a little bit of a buzz of late. Mm-hmm. Cessna, of course, is trying its best to provide an LSA that, one, meets the mission, mm-hmm. and two, is affordable to all. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, in this day and age, that required some compromises. And the compromise in this particular case means some assembly in China. Mm-hmm. There are some folks that doesn't sit well with, and there are some folks who are just overjoyed that this thing doesn't cost $170,000 to $180,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we worked the business case, we looked at what it would take to build the airplane, either in the U.S. or some foreign built, some domestic, and we knew we had to be competitive with other LSA manufacturers, but we also as a company know what it takes to really be in the business and have good product support and good networks of whether the parts or service. And so we carefully worked through everything, and we saw, as I think as other manufacturers have found, that we needed to look internationally.
Let's look at a couple of scenarios here. If you had done this in the United States, as mm-hmm. I understand, the rumors suggest $170,000 to $180,000 to build this airplane. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I couldn't tell you for sure because I don't know the exact differences, but it would certainly be more than what we're doing today.
Most of the componentry, all the major componentry mm-hmm. and all the major dollars are still coming out of the U.S., correct?
Right. Yeah. Again, the materials are purchased from U.S. companies that make them. Many of the major vendor, the suppliers, the product is being shipped over there, and then like the Continental and the Garmin, and, mm-hmm. and then they'll fly it and ship it back.
And then you've got three service centers here in the mm-hmm. United States that'll do the final assembly, test fly, and hand it over to folks who want to go play.
That's right.
Outstanding. And of course, the other thing too, keep it. I'm trying to take
the one side of this right now, mm-hmm. but you know, there's so many things that do argue for it, because it was an either or. Either you had the airplane or you didn't, based on the decisions that were made. But ultimately, also, this means hundreds of jobs for the U.S., doesn't it?
Right. Because especially, you know, one of the main reasons when we were looking at this a few years ago getting in was the fact that the flight training has gotten so expensive. We needed a low-cost 152 type airplane. I learned to fly in a 150, and you know, it was certainly cheap, and even then it was an old airplane when I learned, but to lower the cost to get people into aviation.
So there you have it, the decisions, the information, everything that came into making the Skycatcher decision, and then of course the decision to work in China. By and large, sweet little airplane, good ideas, and of course Cessna design, engineering, and styling. And ultimately, with almost 1,000 orders on the books, the airplane's a success before it even takes to the sky. For the Aero News Network and for Aero TV, I'm Jim Campbell.
To find all four parts of the video feature from which this audio was sourced, and dozens of other video features, visit www.aero-tv.net and click on the archives link. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.